Okay, I didn't know if we did that. Okay.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
You're on.
All right. I think we are official. So we're going to start out. I'm going to just tell you a little bit about me. My name is, like Jim said, my name's Craig May. And my wife and I have been with Grace Chapel for about 15 years. We came up from Alabama. I actually grew up in the Pacific Northwest in Oregon and grew up as a Salvationist in the Salvation Army. My grandparents were Salvation Army officers or pastors. So that's my heritage, and I love that. I played in the brass band and did all those great things. My wife and I have been married for 21 years. I came south and married a Southern Belle, and we have twin daughters. They're 15 now, and one is trying to get her driver's license. She has her permit. The other one is not interested. And I say thank you, Lord, and Catherine, if you hear this, I love you. I've been an elder for, I think, 8 or 9 years. I'm not really sure. But we love it. The very first time we moved up to Tennessee from Alabama, the first Sunday we came to Grace Chapel and had not looked back. We knew this is where God wanted us and had us. So excited to be here with you tonight and share the topics of God's love and our unity. And with that, I will turn it over to Ron.
Well, thank you for being here. My name is Ron Gonser. I'm one of the pastoral care pastors here at Grace Chapel, along with Rick Kua. So Rick and I work the Department of Pastoral Care, which is marrying people, doing celebration of life services, counseling, all types of counseling, visitations. I was at a house today in Fairview and then over to Williamson Medical Center and visiting people that are in those facilities. And so I love doing it. God's called me to do it. I've born and raised in Southern California, was saved at Calvary Chapel in 1970 in Costa Mesa in the tent under Chuck Smith. And I love the beach. And then in 1997, God said to my wife and I, want you to move to Nashville. And so we didn't know why, didn't know what was going on, but we did like the Beverly Hillbillies and packed up everything and moved to Tennessee and found it to be a different way of life. I still haven't found the beach, but I'm still looking. Love it here. And so I've been here since, been in the Nashville area since 97, and then been at this church since 2005. I'm also an elder. Was an elder first, and then Steve knew that I had done, was an associate pastor in California for a while, and asked me if I ever thought about going back in the ministry, and I said yes, I had. And so he said, you know, we'd love to have you here in pastoral care. So been doing that since 2012 and loving it. And just love ministering to people, loving on people, and praying for people. So married, have two children and 7 grandchildren. And so it's been fun. I've got 4 grandchildren, or we have 4 grandchildren up in Seattle. And then we have 2 in Dallas, Texas. So we get to travel around a lot and get to go visit them as much as possible. Dad went to heaven 3 years ago. Mom is still with us. She's in an assisted living in California. She didn't want to move to Tennessee. And so I went along with her wishes. And so she's out there. My niece sees her a couple times a week. And I'm flying out there in May. She turns 92. So, and still going strong. So it gives me hope. Dad was 90, she's 92. I'm going, yes, I'm liking that. So anyway, that's my story and who I am. And I'm glad to be here to get a chance to meet all of you and get to know who you are and where you came from, same as you just heard from us. So we'll do that on our break time.
Very good. So tonight, we are going to be talking about God's love. That's the first topic, and then followed by our unity. So if you turn into your binders to God's love, we will get started. Our discussion on God's love is based on the scripture in 2 Samuel 9, 1 through 13. Don't turn there. You don't have to turn there. But what I would encourage you to do is at some point turn and read that scripture and even go through each of these points and see how these points for God's love tie back to that scripture. Because these points were really that came out of this scripture. In fact, Pastor Steve was the one who laid out the outline. So I'd encourage you to do that. It's the story of Mephibosheth. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of the story of Mephibosheth. He is the son of Jonathan, who was, of course, the son of the first king of Israel, King Saul. And when he passed away, he hid because of King David. He thought he would kill him. And King David went out, showed love, brought him into the kingdom, and he ate at the king's table. He restored Mephibosheth. And so that's kind of how this story, what it's based on. So let's get started. So the very first point is that God's love seeks to be demonstrated to anyone. Okay? Now one of the things that that we really want to emphasize is we realize that God is always seeking out to demonstrate his love. We're his children. He wants to show us by expressing his love. And one of the things that we really try to encourage everyone to do that's a part of our ministry, as part of Grace Chapel, is to have that same heart. Okay, and then we have different classes. The Steps class is a perfect example that we should be allowing God, who seeks to demonstrate his love to us, that we show love to others unconditionally. And there's many areas of ministry where that is taking place. And so it's so important to understand that God's purposefully, that's the kind of God that we serve. He purposefully wants to demonstrate how much he loves each one of us. And so that's the heart that God has put within us with the Holy Spirit, to show love, to demonstrate love to each other, to the body. Okay, so the second point is that God's love saves the lame, crippled, dropped, and fleeing. Okay? So, you know, that could really, you could look at that as applying to all of us. None of us are perfect. Mm-hmm. But God wants to, he wants to come and he wants to love and to be able to help those who have any kind of issues that need special care. And one of the ministries that we are really thankful for here at Grace Chapel is the Can Do Ministry. In fact, it's they meet over on Sunday morning right across the hall. It's a great ministry. That how many have ever heard of the Can Do Ministry? Have y'all heard of it? Okay, perfect. And what it is, it's especially with regard to children. Many times when parents have special needs children, you know, there's most churches they can't accommodate, you know, because that takes usually extra care for those special needs kids. But what we have done with the Can Do Ministry is we have special classes for those kids with special needs, and in some cases we have very highly functioning children with ADHD or whatever, and they're able to have a buddy that's part of the Can Do Ministry, and they can go and join in with their age group, mm-hmm. with the rest of the kids. Isn't that awesome? So they can enjoy, and the actual teachers and volunteers in the class, they're not having to focus on that one child because the Can Do Ministry buddy is there to help with that child, so that they can then experience, being with all the other kids and enjoying what they're doing as well. So that's a ministry. Amy McCarthy is the one that's heading that up. But that's an example as of how we here at Grace Chapel want to help those who have the special needs. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the way, that's what God does. You know, that God, He purposefully does that for us. And so that's just an example of how we here at Grace Chapel want to love kids and really help those who have those particular needs.
Can I jump in there for just Absolutely. A minute, Greg? Also, at Grace Chapel, many people come in, and whether you're some of them or not, but many people are coming in from other churches, other areas of the country, like myself, and you might be lame, crippled, dropped, and fleeing. Maybe not literally, but spiritually. You could be hurt in some way. You got hurt at another church. You got crippled from somebody in a church. It could be all sorts of those things. And we here at Grace Chapel, to use the term that we use in Can Do, we want to be your buddy. We want to walk alongside you to make sure that you know you're loved and cared for in God's love, and we want to restore you to health the best that we can. So that is such a ministry here, not only in the Can Do ministry, but throughout the church. If you are hurt, crippled, lame from whatever, it could be from churches, it could be from school, it could be from home life, it could be from any of those, we want to help restore you and walk alongside you and make you know that you can be healthy and you can be well and you can be loved through God's love through us.
Amen. Okay, so the third point is that God's love, it reaches to the barren places. And it is really important to me. I mean, the picture in my mind is you have, if somebody that's lost, you know, God created us. So in order for us to live that fulfilled life that God calls us to, we have to have that restored relationship with God. So God is always, He's calling us to have that relationship so He can take us out of the barren places and put us in a place where we can thrive, where He created us to thrive in community with each other and especially in community with Him. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. For example, we have two ministries that kind of do that. And one is Celebrate Recovery. You know, people who, because of addictions of many kinds, they're in a barren place. They're in a place where, you know, we're bondage. You know, you have the strongholds. And that's a ministry that helps people overcome those through the help of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus' help, to be able to free them, again, to live in that place of abundance. So that's an awesome ministry that is able to help those who are in that barren place. And another one is Room at the Inn. Mm-hmm. And what we do during the winter there, has anybody heard of Room in the Inn? Yeah, so what we'll do is we'll take a bus to Nashville, I believe, mm-hmm. to homeless mm-hmm. and homeless men, and we'll bring them in to our church, and we'll feed them, give them a hot meal, and then they'll spend the night, and they'll be able to take a shower and all of that so that we can reach out. Again, being like God, being like Jesus, reaching to a place that's a barren place, you know, where they're living homeless, to be able to come and bring them and let them see, get a taste of living in a secure place, in a place where they were meant to to thrive, but maybe encourage them to turn their life around and give it to the Lord. We don't know, but we're called to reach out and to help. Mm-hmm. So those are two areas where we really feel strongly that God has called us to minister to those who are in a barren place.
Mm-hmm. My turn?
Yes, it's
okay,
your turn.
Okay, here we go. Number four, God's love removes fear. What we want to do here is we want to make a safe environment at Grace Chapel. When you come here, we want you to feel safe. We want you to feel loved. We don't want any fear to grip you for any reason whatsoever. We want to make it a place that you feel like this is home. This is another place that is you could call home. I don't know about you, but when I first came here, when I came to the very first service, we were looking for, God had taken us from one church here, and we felt disconnected from it after 5 years. And we said, okay, God, where are you taking us to minister? And we went to a church, and it was a really good church and good service and everything, and we walked out. But I looked at my wife, and I said, what did you think? And she says, I don't feel like we're at home. And I said, okay, fine. And then the next week we came here, and when we left, I said, what did you think? And she said, I don't know about you, but if you don't feel like this is home, just pick me up in the parking lot here every Sunday. So, and I said, no, I feel that same way. And so you feel like home here. And when you're at home in the security of your home, you don't have fear. It's your home. You feel good. And that's what we want you to feel when you come in here. Perfect love casts out all fear. We don't want you to have any fear when you come here. We want you to feel secure, loved, and cared for, and not have to be fearful of anything that goes on. Number five, it produces restoration. Again, people come in and they've been hurt. They've been there's been issues going on. It's just like Craig was saying, our Celebrate Recovery that we have every Monday night is a place where men and women can both come and be restored. It's run just like an AA meeting type, I guess you would say, but it's Christian-based. They come in, we worship, we praise, we give testimonies, and then they break out into rooms, men and women in each individual room, and then they share in a group with a facilitator and help restore them to be someone in God's kingdom, that they are loved and they're cared about. Same as Room at the Inn that we have here on Tuesday nights. We bring all those men in, put out beds, they sleep, as Craig said, they eat, they're fellowshipped, they're talked to, and then in the morning we pick them up and we take them back downtown Nashville where they live. And we have three stories of men that have been restored, that have their own apartments now, have their own jobs now, and they have been restored into life in this life and in the kingdom of God. They know they're loved and cared about. So that's what we're all about, is trying to be restoring people, loving them where they're at, restore what has been taken away from them in the past to let them know God's love. Number six, it brings secure adoption. You know about adoption. Adoption, somebody has a child that doesn't have parents, and somebody comes along and they adopt that person, and that person becomes part of the family, and they love on that person as if they were their own family member. And that's what we want to do with the people that come in here. You're here for a reason. I don't know, if it's like us, we felt disconnected from a church. We came in here and we felt loved, we felt cared for, and we felt adopted into this family. And that's what we want to do for all of you and anybody else that comes in. We want to adopt you into the Grace Chapel family, feed you, care for you, help you grow in Christ, and then share that with somebody else that comes in. That's what it's all about, is passing that on to someone else. And Craig's got a great story about adoption.
Yeah, just quickly,
yeah.
My brother and his wife, they adopted a girl from Ukraine. And the cool thing that that this demonstrates about adoption is when they did that, they redid her birth certificate, mm-hmm. and rewrote it as if she was, when she was born, she was their child.
I love that.
Isn't that awesome? What a beautiful picture. And that's the picture it is with God adopting us. It's as if we were always his,
yes.
children. And that's a spiritual truth that we can hang our hat on, that we have always been his. He knew from the very beginning. The scripture says that. But mm-hmm. that's just a beautiful example of that.
Yes.
Okay, number seven is that God's love covers imperfection and lameness. And what I want to emphasize here is that God's love, we don't have to be perfect. And one of the things that we encourage everybody who wants to join our body is to get involved in ministry. Now, of course, we'd love for you to get involved in ministry within the church. That would be awesome. We'd encourage you to do that. But if in ministry out in the community as well, wherever God has you, on mission trips or what have you. But God has created all of us for ministry. And where that comes in with this point is, many times people say, I can't because I'm not able to speak, or I don't have the talents. God, He's going to put it on your heart, and you're going to know, and He's going to give you everything you need to minister. So there's no excuse. So that God has called you to step up and to join in the kingdom and minister and to shine the light of Christ to a dark world that desperately needs His love. And so we want to encourage you all to do that, to jump into ministry, you know, because that's really God's heart. And I know we're all busy, but that's our number one calling, isn't it? Because we're living in the kingdom. And so living and being used by God. Okay, now we're going to talk about the foundations in unity. And this is, of course, so important, and it kind of really piggybacks off of God's love. It's so important that we live in unity. The first point is that we are all equal in the kingdom of God. And it seems like such a easy thing to know, but it's so important to understand that we're all equal. You know, Pastor Steve, to everyone who's part of this church, we're all equal in God's kingdom. We all have a part to play that is critical. You know, the scripture talks about the body, that there's all different parts of the body. You know, we have to understand that we play an important role, and that we don't have to be jealous. We're going to talk about jealousy, but think, hey, they have a better position than I do. We all are equal. Hmm. God has given us authority because of who we are in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand that. That's an awesome thing. But again, He is going to direct us on how to use that authority. Yes. Okay, so that's so important. Okay, number two is that we are all given authority in Christ. We just had a men's retreat. And, you know, and I love, you know, that, you know, we're always trying, like, we have like women's ministry. We also have men's ministry. And with this men's retreat, we are actually taught or shown how authority is given to us. And it was such a great example. I'm going to share it with you really quickly. That God, He had authority over all things. He created this world with all the plant life, all of the animals, and all of that. He had authority. He chose willingly to give that authority to man. He gave it to Adam, right? And then when He gave it to Adam, Adam then had the authority over all of creation, of this creation. What happened when man sinned, when they took the apple, Eve, and then gave it to Adam, and they sinned, Satan came and then took part in that authority. Mm-hmm. Man actually let Satan have authority. Satan only has authority because we, as those men and women who God gave the authority, we allow him to have it. So you see Satan, in the scripture, it says Satan is the ruler of this world. It's only because we fallen humans have given him that authority. But when Christ came, he came and he demolished everything that Satan had, and he took back that authority. Okay? And then he gave it to us, the body. Isn't that awesome? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the picture, and now we have that authority. Now we have to use it wisely. Okay? That's where we walk in unity in the Spirit to use that authority. Okay, the third point is that the glue for unity is remembering what Jesus did for us. And again, that was the example, that we have to understand who Jesus is. And if we really get that picture, He is God of very God. He is the creator of all things. The scripture says everything is held together through Christ Jesus, mm-hmm. in Colossians. He is everything. If we understand that, it is humbling. You know, and it's, but that, what that does is that makes us understand who we really are, and so that we can live in unity with each other, because we realize we're co-heirs with Christ, but it is an awesome, I mean, Jesus, He is everything, and yet He's allowed us to share in His authority, so that should encourage us to live in unity with each other.
Good. I'm looking at it going, am I supposed to be doing that one, or is it, or are you doing that one? But I'm glad you did it. You did so much better than
Oh my goodness.
You did so much better than I would have done.
I want you to know that Sunday morning. I said, I'm sorry.
You did so much better. I mean, now I learned something. you know, it's and to piggyback on the glue part, we just have to remember what Jesus did for us. And, you know, people, has anybody in here been down to the chapel at all? You have. Good. Well, then you see me down there every Sunday. I'm down there, Pastor Steve. I don't know if I was good or bad, but he put me on the far end of campus, and I'm down there every Sunday. I love it. I love the people down there. I love doing the service down there, and we have a great time. But, you know, whether you're in the sanctuary or the chapel, there'll be a time where you'll be asked to stand up and to greet one another next to you and all of that. And some people, I can tell you, they just dislike that terribly. But if we're going to show the unity and the love that Jesus has, Jesus would want us to do what he would do, and that's to greet one another, love one another, not to make barriers and divide things in between. One of the points here is never treat others as if they don't belong, but welcome them to the family of God. You never know who's going to be near you. You had a very first time to come into this church, and hopefully somebody greeted you and welcomed you and loved on you when you came. I pray that that happened. Number two in that, you have to allow that to happen. I mean, you can push people away and not want them around you, but if you allowed that to happen, it made you feel warm, like you were welcomed. You never know who's next to you. It could be somebody that's their very first time here at Grace Chapel on a Sunday, and we need to welcome them and say, you know, I don't know you. My name's Ron. How long you been here? Oh, this is your first time. Well, welcome. We love to have you here. We need to make sure that we are that glue that sticks the body together and doesn't make it fall apart or separate and go different ways. Number four, unity is a reality we already have in Christ, not something we strive for. We've already have it. You know, there's things that divide the body of Christ, and it bothers me that this happens. And the biggest thing that divides the body of Christ is denominations. You know, well, I can't go to that. I invite people to come. Why don't you come visit our church? Come on. I know you got a church, but I'll visit yours. You come. No, I'm not allowed to go to your church. I can't do that. That church isn't this denomination or whatever denomination they are, so I can't go. If it's a Bible-believing, gospel-teaching church, I'll go anywhere. I don't care what the name is over the door, but denominations are something that can split a church, and it doesn't bring unity together. And so we need to break down those barriers, because we don't want to cause any type of division or anything like that. We want to, it's a body. I mean, if this arm's doing one thing and this arm's doing something else, I need them to work together. And so we need to work together here at Grace Chapel and love on everybody and let everybody know that we're together and we're in unity and we already have that in Christ. All right, number five. We all have equal access to the Father in the kingdom. All of us. Look at the people next to you. If you were standing up next to somebody in church on the chapel, I would say, look to the person next to you and tell them we all have equal access. We all do. We all have it. Steve doesn't have more access than you do to God. He doesn't. He might use it more. He might be on his knees more. The more we're on our knees and the more we're praying, the closer we get to God. But you have the same access that he has and that what I have and what Craig has. We have that same access to God. And you can read, we are all citizens of the kingdom. We're all supernaturally fit together with all our diversity. And we are built together on his foundation because he's the cornerstone that everything is built from. So we're all one and have access into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. So don't forget that. Nobody is any better just because you wear a name badge that says pastor or elder. Remember this. The scripture says, to whom much is given, what? Much is required. So you might not want to be Steve, and you might not want to be me or Craig, because whom much is given, much is required. And before I said yes to coming on board as an elder or then as a pastor, I considered and prayed, God, is this what you want me to do? Not because, oh, I'll get to wear a badge that says pastor. No, I could care less about the title. I want to do what God wants me to do, and I want to be where God wants me to be, and I want to do the job that the title has for it, and that means to love on people and to care about people. So, you know, we're all the same. That's all I want to say. We're all the same in this room. We're all children of God. We're all saved through the blood of Christ. So we're all the same. We just have different looks and different obligations and different duties in the kingdom of God. But we're all the same in Christ.
Very good. So number six, there is a difference between kingdom authority and worldly position. And one of the things that we want to impress upon anybody who would join us is that the authority structure of the kingdom of God, it is always to benefit and to lift up everybody. But the world, it's like, you know, dog eat dog, you know, and that's really like Satan's kingdom that acts in that way. Whereas somebody, you're afraid they're going to take whatever you want or all of that kind of stuff. That's not the kingdom. The kingdom authority, it's meant to build everybody up. And so it's really important to understand that when we live together, we come together as a body, that the authority structure that God put together, and that's one of the things that Ron touched on, that it's so important. You know, like, you know, Steve asked me to be an elder, but I believe it was God. It was calling me mm-hmm. at the right time, just like he called Ron. Mm-hmm. You know, because God put us together, and that's what we believe. You know, it's not a matter of power. Mm-hmm. You know, it's purely, this is the kingdom work, you know, and we have to be servants. So all of us need to be servants of each of others. So that's so important to understand for the unity of the body to really play out mm-hmm. the way God intended, so we can lift each other up.
Yes.
So number seven is division, jealousy, selfishness undermine corporate unity. And I want to quickly go back to the men's retreat when they talked about, you know, if you really think about it, what sin is broken relationships. When you sin, you're actually affecting, you're affecting a relationship between either between you and God or between you and other people. You know, that's all sin. If you think about the Ten Commandments, for example, you have the vertical commandments. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, but you should love the Lord your God, not have any other idols, and so forth. Then you have the horizontal commandments. You shall, not lie, steal, murder, all of those things. That's the horizontal, and that's so important that we recognize that we're to live and to know that we need to encourage each other. You know, the second greatest commandment is to love others as yourself. Mm-hmm. And if we do that, if we're living the way God intends for us to live, then we don't have any reason to be jealous, to be selfish, because God gives plentiful. If we really understand who we are in Christ Jesus, we don't have to worry, because he's going to give us everything we need. We don't have to live with those kinds of fears and all that stuff that would cause jealousy and selfishness and so forth. So that's one of the things we really try to encourage through teaching and just through fellowship. But we need to love each other mm-hmm. and to encourage each other.
Yes. Me? You. Here we go.
Yes.
Last two. Here we go. Number eight, there is unity when we walk in kingdom authority. If you've attended the last 4 weeks here on Sundays, you've heard Steve talking on the kingdom of God, and some of the Gospels call it the kingdom of heaven. He wants us, you know, he's trying to teach us to walk in kingdom authority. God has given us authority to cast out whatever and to pray and get people to be healed, and he's given us that authority. But Steve's teaching us it's not in the when we get to heaven, it's right now, here and now. But we get little tastes. That's why not everybody is healed when we pray. But we get a taste of what it's like when we get to heaven. And I heard Pastor Myron say something today at lunch that just blessed me. He was talking about kingdom authority and praying from kingdom authority. He said, when a police officer stands out in the middle of a street and goes like this to traffic, it's not because he's got a badge on, because he's got a gun and he wears a uniform, that we stop. It's because we know the law, which is written down, that it says, if an officer tells you stop, you stop. So we're obeying the authority that that officer has to do that. And God has given us the authority when we pray, let it be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So what is heaven like? We know there's no sickness, there's no lameness, there's no crippled, it's peace. And so we have that authority when we pray. We know what that's like in heaven. We have the authority to say, Lord, we need your healing right now, and we ask for that through kingdom authority. We're praying for healing right here. Give us what we're asking for, and we're believing for it, Lord, because we're asking, give us on earth as it is in heaven. So we pray from authority, and that's what God wants us to have as we walk here on this earth and in Grace Chapel. I like what it says, every member is important in the body. If joints are not functioning properly, there's little movement. Christ alone is the head of the church and no man. So Steve will be the first to tell you, he is not the head of the church. He is what God's called to be, the senior pastor of Grace Chapel. But the head of the church is Jesus Christ. And we have kingdom authority through Christ to operate in the gifts that God gives us to use. The last one, walking in unity, always brings a blessing. I wrote down Galatians 3:28. There's no longer a Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. So when we walk together, when we move together, you can imagine a centipede with all those legs. If all the legs were going different directions, it would never go anywhere. But when I watch it, they're all going together and it moves forward or sideways wherever it wants to go. That's what we want for Grace Chapel. We want to move together in the kingdom to see people saved, to see people helped, to see people healed. And you all have part of that. You're all part of what's going on here at Grace Chapel because you've said, I want to be part of this church. I want to be part of this body. So you're part of that. So that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to walk in unity. And when we do that, there comes a blessing upon us individually and then us as a body together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want to leave one last thing. I see that I wrote it down here. It says, we don't have to be the same, but we do have to be one. We have to be one together. We can't be going different ways if we're going to be part of this body. If this isn't where God wants, I mean, when we got disconnected, my wife and I from that other church, we love that church, but we knew God was disconnecting us. If we'd have tried to fight it and stay there or whatever, it wouldn't have worked. God put us here, and this is where he wanted us to flourish for this time being. And so if God's called you here, be all that God wants you to be right here. Think of yourself as a jigsaw puzzle. Yeah, how many have done a large jigsaw puzzle? Anybody do one? All those pieces are different shapes, different colors, just like us in here. But you put it on a board and you begin to put it together and you don't force it. It goes into wherever it's going to be. And when you get complete, what is it? It's a beautiful picture of something. We want it to be a beautiful picture of Christ through us, all fitting exactly where God wants us to fit here at Grace Chapel. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay, we're going to break into groups of two since there's not a whole bunch of us here tonight. And again, if you can not meet the same person that you did last week, but let's break into groups of two. Remember, these are the questions that you have to discuss in your group. And then we'll come together in about 15 minutes. And we'll just, you can ask these two gentlemen any questions that you want to get.
And spouses.
Yeah, spouses will know enough to not be in the groups together, just so you separate. This is the only thing you're going to separate, the husbands and wives.
There's going to be odd dynamic, that's it.
Oh, this.